turn in our hymnals to hymn 440, our final hymn before our message, Doxology. Copy of these scriptures to Psalm 90, verse 12. This is where we will be this morning. And I will take a quick moment to just address, if you noticed that we did do our service differently this morning. Much study and prayer has been done in regards to the traditional Reformed Baptist order of service, with a call to worship, a hymn which focuses on the supremacy of God, the gospel, pastoral prayer, scripture reading. And we have added the London Baptist Confession and our memory verse in. Then a hymn, our message, a final hymn. And through much prayer, through much reflection, decided to go back to the traditional form of worship. The only sense in which things have changed much is two hymns have been cut out. The reason for this is with too many hymns, it can distract from the preaching of the word, from the message. And we want that to be the central focus and that to be the dominating theme of our time and for everything to center around this. So if that confused, I apologize. I did not announce that at the beginning. But we are seeking to be true, to worship, and to hold biblical worship here at our church. So, with these things, our scripture this morning, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You may be seated. When 1 year passes and another comes, this is a great mercy from the Lord. It is a time where even those of the world, they pause and reflect on the year that has passed and they look forward to the year to come. Yet as the people of God, we know whom our blessings come from. We know where our provision, graces, and mercies. We know who provided them. And we look back and see God in everything. We see him in the trials, in pain, and in the good blessings. And as we now go into another year, it is not only wise for us to be thankful to God for the past, but to look forward to his blessings in the future. To look back and examine our service and spiritual life, and to renew our faith and resilience and service to God for the year to come. And what we have before us this morning is a prayer from Moses. The Israelites had seen trial. They, because of their sin, had to wander in the desert for all those years. And Moses knew the Lord had sustained them the entire journey, knew that all his years were in the Lord's hands, and he seeks wisdom to know how to deal with these days. He knew they were numbered. He knew he was finite, and this life is not forever. And he sought wisdom from the Lord and how to walk before him. And he did not pray just so that he could plan ahead. He did not pray this just so he could know the exact number of days he had ahead of him to know how much longer of life he had. He did not pray this that he could discipline himself for gain, but for the purpose of worshiping the Lord rightly, redeeming the time he had, and presenting to God a gift of a heart of a servant who is seeking wisdom. And as we come to the new year, may Moses' prayer be our prayer. That we do not resolve only to eat better, to have these resolutions of discipline and better living financially or however, but that we aim to renew service to the Lord, to redeem our days and to present to him a heart of wisdom when he calls us home. And may the Lord give us ears to hear this morning. And may our cold hearts be warmed and renewed in Christ. The first thing I would draw our attention to in this passage is the prayer, which seeks wisdom to teach us to number our days. And that's what Moses begins this verse with, "So teach us." Now, there are many similarities that we have in this life with Moses and the Israelites, yet there are many differences. We do not know when our end will be. Moses was told when he would die that he would not enter into the promised land, but that he would see the people safely to Canaan. We do not know our days as he did, but we have the similarity in that we know that the Lord will lead us in the wilderness of this life as pilgrims until we are safely on Canaan's side of the Jordan, until we safely cross over the veil of this life into heaven. And the year before us lies ahead like a road we have not traveled. And just as Moses, we must have the attitude that we will not take a single step without asking the Lord to be our guide and our teacher. For the reality is we are ignorant of much. You do not know what this year holds, but God knows what it will hold for you. And the question is not whether trials will come, whether blessing will come, but whether you will meet these days before you as a man who has counted his days, knows that they are but few. And before us there may be days of great joy, yet there may be days filled with much sorrow. We do not know which prayers will be answered by the granting of our request, nor do we know which prayers lie ahead which will be answered by withholding. And because of this, we must seek wisdom in asking the Lord for direction and instruction before any intention. We should not begin our plans without first seeking the Lord. As Moses would not go to the left or to the right without the pillar of fire or cloud to guide, so too he would seek wisdom to order his life around the reality that it is short. The prayer from him was not, "Lord, let me plan my days," but rather, "Teach me to number them. Teach me to see my frailty, that I am finite, that this will end." And in this, he was asking, "Let me first seek you, Lord, before I do anything. Before I can be resolved to do something, I must seek revelation, Lord, from what to do. I must have wisdom from above." And we must have the same. Not as Moses had speaking face to face with the Lord, not this supernatural whispering, as some claim, but guidance and instruction from his word. And it is as if Moses was saying, "Lord, you've taught me by your word You've taught me, you've spoken to me, but teach me rightly to apply it. It is not enough for me to just know my life will end, but Lord, show me the urgency. Teach me to rightly see this urgency before me. And this prayer, when the godly pray in such a way, it confesses our great need of God. And asking for this wisdom can only come from Him by the power of His Spirit, and we must beg for it. This is not natural to us. And asking for this wisdom only comes from Him. And we must ask that we be able to apply this wisdom to our hearts. For it is not time that will make us wise. It is not experience or number of days which makes us holy. It is only through the power of the Spirit and God's teaching us how to live that we can be wise and holy before we die. And when we have His wisdom, we may live and truly live rightly before Him. This was Moses' prayer. Teach me to see my frailty. Teach me how to live in the short time I have for Your glory, for Your service, that I not waste any of it. Teach Your people to do so, that we may present to You a heart of wisdom. Now we've seen the prayer, and this should be the prayer of each of us here. Yet I would have us go further in seeing why we should pray these things. What importance is there to seeking so earnestly this wisdom and applying it to my heart? That would bring to my second heading, the sobering reality of numbering our days. The sobering reality of numbering our days. And that is what he asks to be taught. He says to number our days. For the sobering truth, we must come to the realization of, at the beginning of this year, every day, is the truth that our days are not endless. They are appointed. We have been condemned in this fallen state to have our days shortened. It's a consequence of the fall, of our sin. And we must seek grace from the Lord to consider how few our days truly are. We live only a little while in this world, and we cannot be ignorant of this truth. And mankind tends to forget this truth, to forget that we are not promised a year, a month, or even our next hour. Each day we have on this earth is a great mercy from the Lord, yet it is not a guarantee that we will see another. The healthiest of us die young. Job said of man, he is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. And to number our days and see how short they are is to recover a seriousness about life in an age of distraction. We never think it could be us who dies. And we tend to live life however we want when we have this mentality. In our modern day of technology and busyness, we waste away our time as if we had endless hours. We're distracted and carefree, forgetting that there is a life after this one. Living as if now were eternity. And we tend to sit back and relax, do what we want, distract ourselves with all that life has to offer. And our culture teaches us to waste our moments and our days. As if judgment were just a rumor. The wrath of God, something that is just a myth. Satan whispers, it will never come. You have all the time in the world to figure that out anyway. And perhaps some of you have believed this lie. You have postponed repentance. You have delayed obedience. You have told yourself, later, I have time. But later is a luxury that Scripture never promises. You think you will have many years, and then at your death you can figure it out. You've got time to live life to the fullest and enjoy it to the max. Until then. Then you will make right. And this is a very sad thought that many are blinded by. And we must think, each of us, how have you spent your days? Each of us, where have your hours gone? How much of your time has been given to eternity? And how much to little trifling things that will perish, will be burned up as chaff? This is a reality we must all set before us, that our days are few. And we must not look at our lives as if we have many days before us. For when we do, we fall prey to being a fool, as the parable of the man who built bigger barns. It says, my barns are full, I've had an abundance, I will build more. And then I will fill those bigger barns, and I will sit back and relax and enjoy life. Do what I want. He thought he had much life left and prepared to live at ease. He wasted it towards wealth and earthly things, and he played the fool. For that night, his soul was required of him. His belongings meant nothing. He did not count his days as short. And he did not seek earnestly the meaning of this life, did not examine himself and ask, why is it that men must die? What if it were me? He did not seek out and examine himself and see his sin and repent. He did not do this, and sadly, many plan their days in such a way. I will seek more, I will build more, and then I will relax. Then I will be at ease. Then I must ask, are you any different? Have you built your barns carefully? Padding your 401k, padding your bank account, doing all these things, getting the nice house that you want, all of these things, all while at the neglect of your soul. Making your home here, your comfort here. Have you planned your comforts while ignoring your eternity? This is foolish. It fades. But rather, we must live under the shortness and uncertainty of life, for it is uncertain to us. It's no surprise to the Lord, but it is uncertain to us. And when I say this, this is not to live life in despair. I'm not calling for us to live in despair or wallowing in self-pity that, oh, we must die. No. Rather, this is a call to awaken ourselves to holy sobriety. It shows us that death and eternity approach moment by moment, day by day. There is no time to waste when eternity is on the line, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. For us to look for a soul to see and realize, I must die, and cry out, what must I do to be saved from this death? What must I do to flee from the wrath to come? We will never seek it unless we are convinced of our sinfulness, unless we are convinced of God's holiness and wrath toward sin. And also, we will never truly seek eternal life or seek to live for it and see its importance until we see that this life is short. It is short. The truth that we are not promised tomorrow. I am not promised my next second. Each heartbeat is a gift, and it could be my last. The Lord requires us to see this truth, to believe this truth, to come to the Eternal One and plead for life after death, to plead for forgiveness of sins. For true life to begin here, for it is not truly death to die for the believer. When his days are at an end, he simply steps into eternal bliss and continues life even more fully. Whereas those who refuse to believe step into eternal torment. But may we pray and seek the Lord, as Moses did, to guard ourselves from this folly. To truly believe this. To feel its importance that my life is short. And when we do so, we will seek to have the Lord teach us to live our days deliberately. To live life with eternal purposes. To live out our days as men and women who will one day give an account of their deeds before a holy, righteous God. To give account to Christ who died to make redemption for his people. So have you been wise enough to number your days? To see that life is short, to ensure that you have an eternity with Christ? Or rather, have you been slothful, thinking it doesn't matter, thinking I'll get to it later, there's sin in my life that I'm wrestling with and I'll deal with that later? We are called to wake up from this, to turn to Christ and live. Again, this life is a breath. Each beat of your heart is a grace and a reminder that life is short. Christ is the only way to truly live. Many will enter this new year counting their gains, looking forward to more. They come with hope. They make plans for leisure, advancement, and yet all this is folly. Rather, the wise man, the church, must seek to live in light of eternity and to number our days. Which brings me to my next heading, the purpose of numbering our days. We've seen the prayer, we've seen the sobering reality. Life is short, but as the people of God, the great purpose of numbering our days. He continues. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may. There's a purpose behind what he's praying for. And we are called to number our days for good purpose. God is not calling us to number our days and seeking to remind us of our mortality to terrify us, but rather to teach and train us in righteousness. He calls us to be inclined towards true wisdom, which is our great reliance upon Him. A drawing back to the truth, as Scripture says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That from the Holy One comes knowledge. And when we acknowledge we are finite, fragile beings, needy, very needy, and acknowledge that He is infinite, eternal, holy, generous, merciful, gracious, this is where wisdom is found. Knowing who He is and who we are. And that we are but dust. In seeing this brevity of life, its shortness, it is not an enemy to God's grace, but rather it is a servant to it. For when we see that this life is but a breath, but a speck in light of eternity, it seeks to sharpen our obedience. With this uncertainty that we have of what a day holds, it is a grace because it drives us to God in prayer. It deepens our reliance upon God in seeking Christ all the more. And we are called to number our days, for it is a great tool when we see how short our life is to awaken us to practice serious godliness. For hear this, if you are not becoming more godly, the truth is you are becoming more worldly. You are going one way or another. There is no standing still in the Christian life. Either you are pursuing God or you are pursuing the world. And our life is not a joke. It's not. We have not been redeemed of Christ to live out this life as if it were a joke. Our redemption was costly. The blood spilt for you was precious, infinite in value. It is not something to be wasted. And we must see that each day is a gift to be used to God's glory for His purposes, not for our worldly pleasures. We have not been put here to waste our time and life away. There is a kingdom to win, a heaven to win. We are to be at work for God and see that we are to do the works of Him who has sent us while it is day. For soon comes the night when no man may work. I can't remember where I've heard this, and I've quoted it before, that if there was one advantage that we have over those in heaven, or rather what they would desire to have that they can't, that we do, it would be to be useful. Heaven is bliss and perfection, absolutely. There are no souls to be won in heaven. There is no ground to conquer. No one to proclaim Christ to. No lost souls who need Him. And while we are here, we are called to be at work. We are called to be serious about our godliness. We are called to be wise and apply our hearts to wisdom. And this is true heart religion, seeking Christ and applying how to follow Him. To be about God's work and see that the time is short. To look out and see the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. To remember that the bridegroom, the judge, stands at the door ready. That we know not the hour when our Lord will return. Are you serious about your godliness? Do you seek to apply this wisdom to your heart? Should we not aim in the days to come, starting now, to be found at work, to be awakened to work? Not to be miserable, lukewarm Christians, but to be a people at work. Make no mistake. Again, every day that passes, either you are being more heavenly-minded or more earthly. You are either being more softened by grace and your love towards God is increasing, or you are being hardened by your slothful delay to obedience. To delay is disobedience. And the time that God has given us here is to be used for sanctification, to be molded and chiseled by Him. He is using this time day by day to shape our souls for eternity, making us fit for heaven, conforming to our Lord and Savior Christ, all through His grace and power by the renewing of the Spirit, day by day. So remember this, Christian, in a little time, you will die. You will die. Start being godly. Begin this year in numbering your days and practicing self-inspection. Look for sin in your life that you've made excuse for. Look to yourself and see if there's anything which is sinful or may even be perceived as sinful and abandon what appears to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from every form of evil. I like what the King James says. It says to abstain from all appearance of evil. I believe both to be correct. Not only should we abstain from the appearance of evil, but we must truly despise it and forsake it. Not just for show, but for God's glory, that no man may look at our life and see sinful patterns and spurn His name. If you find sin, repent of it. Number your days in this way. Look to your life. Number your days by dedicating yourself to the Lord. Begin now. Make your vows to your Lord that you will live for Him. That you will renew afresh your dedication and love for Him and ask for forgiveness for wasting the precious time He has already given you. Rededicate your time. Number your days in your households. For those who are married, especially speaking to the men here, dedicate your family to the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This was a vow. Be intentional with spending time with your family, opening the word, praying with them, not only just opening and praying, but teach them. Teach them. Not just reading the passage, moving on, but teach your children to fear the Lord. Not only this, but be an example to your children, to your wife, what it means to serve the Lord. By your example, by self-sacrifice, numbering your days. When you are married, you have bonded yourself to someone else, and now you are a servant to them. Men, make no mistake, you are a servant to your family. You can rest when you are dead. Plain and simple. Your life is not your own. You are to serve your family, serve your Lord. Show them sacrifice. Show them Christ-like sacrifice and love. Catechize your children. Teach them the truths of Scripture found within. Your days are numbered, but also so are theirs. You can impact their eternity, not just your own. You have souls in your care, your wife, your children, and you will be held accountable for what you did in the time you were given with them. They are not truly yours. They are borrowed. You are given them on loan. Treat them well and teach them wisely. You must plead for grace in this. And when I say these things, if you look in your families and you see you've fallen short, do not despair. Christ can restore your wasted years. By the power of the Spirit, He can work in your family. But the point is, you must get to work. You cannot look back and say, oh, I failed, there's no point. No, press forward. Your days are numbered. Number your days as well in being disciplined with the arrangement of your days. Now, I know I had spoken before about simply making plans and all these things, but what I'm saying here is different. It is a wise thing to be disciplined in how we arrange the flow of our day. Intentionality in seeking the Lord. Have the resolve of redeeming your time. Not only is this good spiritually, for it is good to be intentional with arranging our time, spend time with the Lord. Protect it. But when we order our time and we are disciplined with our days in going to bed early and rising early in prayer, not only is this spiritually good, but even scientifically it is proven to help with our health. Overall, it helps in every area. There is every benefit to it. Do not seek to live your days in a scramble, having no time for the Lord and the chaos of busy schedules. We all must attend to the duties of life, absolutely. But we must be resolved to redeem our time, to go to bed earlier, to wake up earlier, to pray and read, and then I may go about my day. Protect that time. Protect time at night before you go to sleep to read and pray. Spend less time on your phone. Spend less time in front of the TV. And instead, read a good book on the character of God. Study Daniel. Look at the intentionality of Daniel. Daniel was a disciplined man. He prayed 3 times a day. Prayer was his life. He guarded those times with his Lord, even under the possibility of death. He guarded those times. Look to our own Lord of Christ, who often woke up early before all others to slip away in quiet time to pray. Prayer grounds us. It keeps our focus on the Lord. Prayer is the wind to our sails. The Scriptures inform and ground us and give us direction. The prayer is that wind which sails us along, fuels the engine of the boat that keeps us going. I have said much here, but there is great purpose to numbering our days, and we have every advantage to do so. Resolve to do these things this year that your walk with the Lord may be all the more vibrant, that we may live. And there is nothing to lose for a man who would resolve to walk godly. At least nothing worth losing will be lost. If hobbies be cut, if things that you watch are thrown away. Nothing you lose in following Christ will be worth keeping anyway, that you would be rid of. And finally, we see why we should seek to do these things. We've seen the prayer, the sobering reality, the purpose, but now we should see rather the motivation, or what we should be motivated to give to God. And my final heading this morning is the offering God seeks. Moses prays, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." What God desires of us is not ultimately our time or even our plans. He does desire this of us. He's not ultimately looking for us simply to schedule our days around him, for that would fall short of what he requires. He's not looking for mere legalism of time or a rigid schedule, though these things can be good. Rather, he is asking for us as persons. He is looking for the surrendering of our hearts to him, and that our hearts be in all of this. Moses knew that God did not delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices over an obedient, loving heart. He knew this was far superior. This heart of wisdom he speaks of here is one which is rightly oriented towards God. He was asking the Lord, "Teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart which loves you above all else, which seeks to serve you, to realize I only have a limited time to do so. Teach me this, that I may ground my life upon you, which is the only solid rock to stand upon. Teach us to fear you above all else. For men may kill the body, but you have power over body and soul. Teach us to value eternity over the momentary, to choose obedience over impulse." This is the heart which Moses sought to give to the Lord, and it is the heart we must aim to. It is formed by the knowledge that time is short, and because of this, less time is wasted on trivial things. It clings more closely to Christ. It lives today as if it must give account tomorrow, as if today were the last day here on earth, for it may very well be. And this is the heart we must seek to offer to the Lord, a heart which loves him, which wants to serve him. And it is encouraged to be at work, because the time is very short until we will give an account. As the servants who are given money to hold on to, we must be in a short time as the one who sought to have great increase, not hide it away and bury it. This is the heart we must seek to give him, a loving, obedient heart at work. Aiming for this heart to give to the Lord for this new year is far richer than any resolutions we may have, no matter how good they may be. It is deeper than any ambitions we may have or goals. And it is far more enduring than any success we may seek to have. And on the scales of what we give to God, what we present to him that is worth anything, it is not the number of days given that matters, how long we've lived life, but rather it is the weight of our hearts before him. The weight of whether we have faith in Christ and we've been obedient to that faith and love. And in conclusion, we now stand at the gate of another year. Again, as we've said, we've heard the prayer, we felt the weight. But now we must answer. The year before us, it's unknown, but it is not unobserved. Each day that comes ahead of us is already known to God. Every hour is numbered, every breath is accounted for, and not one moment will be wasted except those we waste ourselves. Some may not see the end of this year. It is a sober truth. And if it be so, how shall we live in light of it? Should we step into another year carelessly? Should we drift as we have before, living for trifling things, postponing obedience, dulling our consciences, soothing ourselves with the lie that there is time enough? Lord, forbid it. Let us not enter the year unthinking, unpraying, unchanged. Rather, may we go forward on our knees and let this be our prayer daily. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us that we may not waste them. Teach us that we may not live as fools. Teach us that we may not stand ashamed before you when our account is called for. And what shall we bring to God when the year is done? Not a list of accomplishments, not the ruins of broken resolutions, not excuses which we write in the margins of our lives of, I didn't have time, I didn't have this. But rather, O Lord, may we bring a heart of wisdom, a heart that feared him, a heart that clung to Christ, a heart that loved holiness and hated sin, a heart that lived deliberately, prayed earnestly, served faithfully, and repented quickly. For again, on that day when our accounts are called, it will not be the length of our lives that is weighed, but the direction of our lives. Not how long we lived, but for whom we lived. And if there are any here today who have numbered their days but never fled to Christ, hear this well. There is still mercy. There is still time today. Christ stands ready to receive sinners, and he will turn none away who come to him in faith. Do not gamble eternity on another year, another month, another hour. Turn now, repent, believe, and live. And for you, dear Christian, begin this year not with confidence in yourself, but with confidence in God. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to keep you. Ask him to make your days count for eternity. Then, whether this year be long or short, joyful or sorrowful, you will have lived wisely, and you will have lived well. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have this great truth before us. I pray you teach us each to number our days, to live for eternity. Father, may we live for him who is worth all our time. Teach us to live for Christ, and may we present to you a heart of wisdom, a heart which loves and serves you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will.